All right, thank you very much. Now I'm looking at the organizers. Do we still have a few minutes for questions? Okay, just a few. Just to give you, well, the opportunity to ask questions to the speakers. So do we have any questions? Yes, please.
Yes, thank you very much. I'm Chiara Giovannini from ANEC, the Association Representing Consumers, and I would have a question about the second presentation on the carbon footprinting labeling. As consumer, you're right, we are extremely concerned about sustainable consumption, of course, and we do welcome all the initiatives that are contributing to sustainable consumption. However, concerning the CO2 labeling, we have a very critical position because we realize that they are quite meaningless for consumers. They don't provide all the information required in order to make a sensible choice of consumption. One example is that CO2 label contains a figure of how many grams of CO2, but you don't have a minimum or a maximum. So you can, of course, compare between two products and buy the one that is lowest, but you don't know if there is another one which is even lower because you don't know what is the minimum. And this is just one example of the criticism that we have towards the CO2 labeling. I was wondering, however, whether your initiative, I don't know, or your institute, I don't know how to call it, is looking beyond the CO2 level. We believe, for example, that tools such as the life cycle assessment, eco-efficiency, are much better place to provide a complete picture in order to help consumer make the best choice. Is this something you're also looking at?
Well,
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Well, I understand your concerns, but the reason that we are focusing on carbon footprint just by itself is because it's something that the consumer actually does understand now. So if you look in the press today, if you ask most people on the street, do you know what carbon footprint means? They'll go, yes, because they've read about it in the newspaper, or they'll have heard about it in some form or other. Now, when you're actually presenting details to the consumer in the store, we feel it's important to keep it as simple as possible so they can actually understand what they're looking at. So if you've got various different figures for CO2, for water, for chemical content, etc., it can become, I suppose, a bit confusing. So in the example I gave today of, say, you're actually comparing two products and just the carbon footprint of those two, and you give, say, when they scan the product, they get a text message saying, oh, that is 200 grams of CO2. Now, that's an easily understandable format that somebody in the store can understand. But beyond that, I don't think we've actually looked beyond that of whether you're actually going to provide more details than just the CO2 footprint itself. I do think that maybe in the future we're also going to have to start looking at water usage, etc., that is actually used as well in the manufacture of a product. But for the moment, we're just focusing on the carbon footprint data itself.
My name is Wolfgang Kleinwächter. I'm from the University of Aarhus. My question goes to Mr. Blenge from Metro. You know, in the groups discussing governance and privacy issues on the Internet of Things, there is a concept which is called the right to silence the chip, to disconnect the object from the subject. So that means in the moment when you pay for an object which has an RFID chip, you can have a connections, the so-called rendezvous point. And my question is, you know, you have a lot of experience, meanwhile, you know, with all the shops you are, you know, and the projects you are executing. Do you have considered this as part of your privacy policy, or is it just, you know, a concept which is not relevant for the work in Metro? And if it is relevant, then what would your strategy or your recommendation, you know, how to move forward? Thank you.
In fact, I don't know if I understand it completely. Just describe what you're doing. Perhaps that we can compare that with your approach. In terms of having an RFID tag with a product, at the end of the purchase, we give the customer the freedom that he can deactivate the RFID tag in the store, because we believe that is a freedom and the transparency we should give to the customers. What we see is that nobody's doing that. Nobody. We have since 3 years now, hundreds of thousands of fresh meat products been tagged, and information are everywhere. We have just one deactivation that was from one of the groups. We were giving a round trip to the store, and we made a demonstration to it. So the customer itself is not aware yet of any problem with that. And and in our industry, we believe we should give customers this freedom at the end when he leaves the store, telling him that he would lose a lot of the additional services that after sales processes would have if the identification would remain with a product itself, so that he has a free choice of what he wants to do. So that is the kind of privacy we are establishing there. Overall, having just the number in a product, for us, we don't believe is a privacy problem, because it's something that is in 90-95% of our products with the not with the product itself, but with the housing of the product, so it's been thrown away, and at the end, therefore, there's not a tracking of customer or whatever issue with all those products we are selling.
May I ask an additional question? Yeah, you know, this creates a huge potential for tracing and tracking. As long as it's under your control, that's fine. But did you realize already or experience the interest of third parties on this huge amount of data, which then is naturally collected?
Which data do you mean?
You know, the data from the objects. If you offer additional service for recall and all this, yeah. So that's fine. And you know, with other words, you can link the customer to the product.
We can't, because the customer is not known by us.
But if he pays, so he has to disclose his bank account or something like that.
Let's have these discussions.
Okay.
Offline.
Thank you very much.
My name is Andreas Krisch from European Digital Rights. I have a question to Mr. Blenge. If I just understood you correctly, you are not deactivating automatically your RFID tags at the, when leaving the store, because I'm a little bit confused, because the Article 29 Working Party, the group of data protection authorities in the European Union, said in two working papers that unique identifiers on RFIDs that are carried by persons are to be considered as personal data. So I'm confused that you are not deactivating.
No, we are not. We are giving the customer the freedom to deactivate it. We are not doing it by ourselves. And we go for the direction that if this tag, which is true if you buy fresh meat, is with the packaging, it's thrown away in a foreseeable future, so that there is no privacy issue at all.
So the major group is not following the RFID recommendation of the European Commission, is that correct?
No, that's not what I'm saying. We give the customer the freedom to do so. We are not required to do.
Not by law, but the RFID recommendation of the European Commission suggests that...
We're doing a private impact assessment without what we're doing. So if you would like to look into that for the details of the solution we have implemented.
Okay, thank you for the clarification.
So two questions actually to Mr. Connor. So one is there a certified authority to say that this figure that I write on the CO2 consumption is trusted and true, or are there any different methods? And the second question would be, is the carbon footprint of your system, how does the carbon footprint of your system compare to the gain that you get by deploying this system and decreasing the carbon footprint of overall what the buyer buys?
Well, I'll start by saying that if you look at ICT overall globally, Hewlett Packard actually did a study on this, and ICT true power consumption actually does account for 2% of annual global emissions. But having said that, I would say that it's 98% of the solution in terms of automating processes and data gathering. So in terms of standardization, we're not a standards body. There's a number of standards from the ISO standards, et cetera, that can be used in this area. But I think that you know that from a manufacturer's point of view, it is very important that we do have a standard for CO2 footprinting that everybody is using across the board that is exactly the same. Because as it stands today, I as a manufacturer might be actually, collecting data more than my competitor is. There is no level playing field as it stands at the moment, and you're basically 100% correct that without standardization, this CO2 footprinting will actually go nowhere. So we do need actually a global standard that everybody can actually adhere to in all regions, not just in Europe.